Macbeth is an unholy riddle we still hesitate to name for fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
To find a new ways of transmission, Doug.
New
Fix
transmission
it.
Methodologies.
Fix it now.
I'll research and come up with a proposal in triplicate tomorrow morning.
For corporate.
Which I'll deny immediately.
Of course.
This is Ghostly Talk, and I am Scott L.
And I am Doug.
And I am Bonnie.
And don't forget, the in the intermissions that we play independent music. It's all indie music.
All of our buddies. Thank you, guys.
I want you to listen to it. There's big, big doings with the FCC right now, or not the FCC.
There is some serious stuff going down.
Some board, the copyright board, they just created the other day. They go, oh, you can't do that. Triple the rates on all podcasts. So indie musicians.
We're helping them out. They're helping us out. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful situation here.
What do we got going on here, Doug? What do we got going on? I mean, we need to even do this stuff? But, you know, let's do it anyway.
Well, we wrote it down.
It's the radio thing to do, I guess.
I think everybody knows this next guest.
If they don't, they should.
And if they don't, they need to.
Get out from under the rock now.
At an early age, Rick realized that he had a unique ability to relay messages from those who've passed. Born and raised in a Christian environment, his belief in the gift of life and life everlasting has remained throughout his own personal life and through continued faith. As a speaker and lecturer, and that's where we run into him all the time now, Rick has shared his thoughts with inspiration and enthusiasm to thousands since 2003. Rick's speaking invitations range from a small organization group of 15 members to major events and conventions attended by thousands. Rick's wide range of topics are designed to accommodate each speaking invitation. And that really works out well because Rick is very, very well-rounded. And so we would like to welcome back to Ghostly Talk Rick Hayes of www.lifesgift.com. Rick, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's glad to be back. And I want to paraphrase that word, well-rounded. I've been walking a lot in the afternoon, so I'm not
It's funny you mentioned that, Rick, because I just made a major investment this week.
Yes, you did.
I went out and bought a treadmill. I have a treadmill in my house now, which I walked a mile this morning, and my God, am I sore.
Some people may know a treadmill as a clothes hanger, but really supposed to walk on it.
Yeah, you're right.
I was getting ready to say that's what mine was for many years. It was actually a place for me to throw my clothes on.
What do you think the first thing my mother said? I'm like, Mom, I'm buying a treadmill. She's like, really? She's like, so you ran out of clothes space in your closet, huh? That's exactly what she said. I'm like, I want to try to get in shape, Mom. All this fun stuff. Rick, what has been... Where do we start? Because you're always out there. We've had the pleasure of seeing you twice, meeting you twice in person. The first time I was at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference last year.
Mid-South.
And then we just bumped into you at the Arkansas Ghost Hunters Conference here.
Which we had a great time. It was an awesome time to, you know, just had a lot of fun there and just got to meet the, you know, it's good to go to these conferences and conventions and just to meet not only new friends, but just, you know, we get to meet each other, and it seems like with your schedule and our schedule, that's about the only, we that's our opportunity to say hello to each other, and it's a great, you know, it's a great time. So,
I think that's why we get so excited about going to these conferences. And we've had a few other people that have come on the show, you know, like John Zappas and Troy, and they all say the same thing. They're like, we love going out and meeting all the people and talking to the people. Well, we love talking to the people that, you know, we all kind of are, you know, we're all comrades in this thing, and it's great. It's kind of like a family reunion of sorts.
It's a little bit of catch-up time. Yeah,
yeah,
you get to catch up and see how everyone's doing and what they're doing, what their new books are, what their new tour circuits are.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really works out. Well, Rick, what do you think of the people who go to the conferences and the conventions and on your lecture circuit? The people, have attitudes been changing over the past 3-4 years?
It really has, since I'm still new in the public, we're actually in our 4th year now, and, we've talked about that just in the last 2 years that we've noticed a change. The attitude is more, let's be more open-minded about this. There's got to be something to this, so let's not look at it as automatically saying we do not believe in this because we cannot feel it, touch it, see it. But there's got to be something more. And I think we're seeing, you know, a transformation there of everyone just saying there's got to be more than just life here daily. And, you know, and of course I go into being in the industry I'm in because of my abilities. I've also branched out into other areas where, you know, I talk about life daily and things like that because, you know, my philosophy is in order to understand the life after, you've got to start first by understanding your life each day.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Somebody said it. Rick, this is why we're dear friends, you see, because you say cool stuff like that. And you mean it.
It makes so much sense, and you mean it, and finally someone says something like that.
What I always tell people is that when people are like, oh, you know, you've been doing this thing for a long time, how many ghosts have you seen, and, you know, how many things have you felt, and have you ever been, like, beat up by a demon or whatever, and I'm like, you know what, it's ironic because it took me several years studying the afterlife to really understand real life. And it's kind of it is a crisscross thing.
There is a lot of things about my daily life that I've grown to appreciate and to honor and to notice.
Oh yeah,
noticing is a big thing. You know, just because I started, you know, talking about the afterlife so much,
mm-hmm.
and Rick, it comes naturally to you, and you sort of, you know, started spreading the word just a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
just 4
mm-hmm.
years ago. But a lot of people really don't notice the daily things. They don't notice the things that people are, that you get messages all the time, and you're even told. You get advertising messages all the time. You get, you know, visual messages all the time. You get message. But you're also getting messages from people who you should be, or, you know, different messages that you probably would mean a lot more to you if you recognized them when you saw them,
mm-hmm.
or recognized them immediately, mm-hmm. and guidance and life guidance. You get that. It just really does seem to happen, and I've started noticing that just a few years ago myself, and it's really changed my attitude. And I think that you're right. I think people are changing out there and changing for the better. I think people are, in general, becoming happier.
And you're exactly right, Doug. I mean, my whole theory was, my whole thought was, how can you understand the life after, you know, and if you're going out there and you're looking for something that is after life here daily, if during this daily life you're waking up in the morning saying, oh, I wish this day was over. Oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, with that kind of attitude, do you think your loved ones are going to give you any messages at all? You know, you're not going to listen to them anyway. So why, you know, you need to change that attitude, you know, before you can understand your life after. And that's, you know, that's one of the things I'm focusing on this year is I'm trying to bring a mode or a blend of life daily and life after, and sharing with others that let's start with life daily, and then you will learn more and more about life after. In the consultations I have every day with personal consultations with everyone, so many times almost daily we receive correspondence back saying, you know, after our consultation, I really began to understand I need to understand my life here more each day. And I began to understand then that my loved ones are around me. And their whole philosophy of life is changing. And so, you know, that's what you got to do. You can't wake up in the morning. You can't say, you know, you can't say, well, my toast is burnt, my coffee's, you know, this traffic's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then say, I'm going to go find a ghost tonight. You know? It doesn't work that way.
Oh, my God, is that true? And that's what my problem is, Rick. I think we just figured out why I can't take photos, why I can't get EVP, why I can't have any experiences. It's because I've been saying that for who am I talking? Who am I kidding?
It happens. But there are those days, Rick, that and I've had them myself. Even though I know a lot more now.
And Doug's the most bubbly person I know too.
And I try to be the most optimistic person on the planet. But you know, it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've been driving into work or what have you, and thinking, oh. Every single thing that I've tried to do today so far has just backfired, and everything, are the planets not in line for me? What's happening to me today? Why does this happen? Why is it a big hurdle that they're just throwing at you that you got to overcome? What's happening there when things just all go wrong?
Well, in the seminars I'm doing this year, I talk about that. They are what I call blah blah days. They're blah. You know, you wake up in the morning, your coffee's bad, your traffic's terrible, mm-hmm. and we all have them. You know, that's the one first step is understanding we all have these. But I really feel like that in order to understand your life daily and to get the most in anything, you have to have lessons that you learn from. And so if you take the attitude of this is something to help me, to strengthen me and to help me to better understand and to strengthen my positive energy, you'll get through it a lot easier. I have in the seminars, I talk about this, we have a thing within us that I define as a booster attitude button. And I define it similar to, there's a major office supply store that has a thing called an easy button.
Oh my God, I've seen this thing. I have seen this. We've seen this.
Well, we have something called the panic button on our desk. But I understand.
We all have an internal booster attitude button. It's just a matter of knowing how to connect it and when to connect it. And through those blah, blah days by connecting to this internal booster attitude button, and just like the easy button where if you press it and it says, oh, that was easy, you know, by pressing this internal booster attitude button, you'll get through that day, those days a lot better.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I think I know what I do when I get those days. I do something just slightly different. I say, okay, well, this day, the way that it's going is just not happening right. So I don't want it to last the entire day. I want to I'll say, okay, well, that happened, you know, that's fine, but that's going to be in the past. I want the future, the rest of the day to be absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that by going around the block. If I'm driving to work, I'll just go around a block. And yes, I know it'll take me an extra 2.4 minutes or whatever, but I deal with that. I say, I'm going to go around the block, or I'm going to take the next road up instead of this road that I normally take. So I always do something just ever so slightly different to throw myself back on track and get, you know, get back into the groove, only on, you know, the way that I would have liked the day to start out, but it didn't, you know. And so I do something slightly different. That's how I deal with it. And that seems to be my, you know, attitude.
That's your easy button.
That's my easy button, my boost your attitude button. So that's how I do it.
And one thing you want to understand, just like you were saying, Doug, you say, well, let me change my direction here. Let me try this path. And one thing we are to understand, and we go to the life after section here, is that our loved ones are around us, and they are saying, it will be a lot easier for you if you take this direction instead of this direction. So when you internally feel like you're saying to yourself, well, maybe I ought to try this direction, it may work better for me. It may be your loved ones sitting next to you and saying, take a ride here. It will be a lot easier for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, that's interesting because I don't hear them in my head or anything, but I do really think that you know, things are guiding us and, exactly. and we're supposed to be listening. I don't think I have the internal wiring or something to hear it myself, but I try to play, you know, you get it as a hunch or a desire, you know, I want to do this.
Well, yeah.
This
what if that's your subject? What if that, I mean, you, like you just said, Doug, I mean, I'm not wired for it either.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Bonnie isn't wired for it.
No, she's
no,
not. Page,
no, Bonnie isn't. And Bonnie's speaking in third person, too. Watch out.
No, she's not.
Well, was that third person? No, you. If you would have said,
Bonnie is not.
Sorry.
Not, yeah.
A little mess of my grammar there. But I'm not wired for that. None of us are wired for that here. But there are these things, these things that drive us, that pull us somewhere, that pull us directions, that push us directions, whatever it may be, that I just do. Just do it. I go, okay, this is the right thing to do. Sometimes you think it over. Sometimes you go, okay, here, what decision do I make? What do I do? And then you make a decision. I mean, you have reason, you have logic, things like that. But there is, I think, this other component that comes into play where you go, this feels right.
Mm-hmm.
This feels right. My gut's telling me, the gut thing, you know, my gut's telling me to move in this direction.
Rick, do people that you talk to, because you talk to a lot of people out there who come to your seminars, and do people out there tend to start out that way, or do they have to have that told to them? Do people listen to their gut instinct, and do they trust it, or is that a learned thing?
It's a combination. I have those, and it's really amazing, because it seems like the female gender has a better connection to the internal gifts as far as perception than the male does. And I believe the reason is us men are, when we're created and we're brought up and we're growing up as from child to adult, we're told that we have to be men. We can't have these internal feelings. We got to, you know, again, see things in concrete to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the female gender has a one step up on the men, just simply because they are allowed to allow their gift that they've been given, that we all been given, to come out more than us men. Now, I want to share with you a little quick story. You was talking earlier about, you know, about the change in path and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We had a devastating, what I call a devastation trial just a couple weeks ago here in the country at a college. And, you mm-hmm. know, immediately after that, we started receiving emails, my thoughts on, you know, what was going on. We received some amazing correspondence. There was actually a person that was there and was scheduled to be in one of those classes that morning. And he shared that for some reason he never hardly ever missed class. And for some reason that morning he woke up and just felt like he just said to himself, I feel like I need to skip class today. And so he didn't go to that class. And so someone asked me, they said, what's your thoughts on that? And I said, very simple. He had a loved one who was telling him, stay here. It's not your time to complete your plan yet. So, you know, he was listening. He, you know, if you asked this person, he would probably tell you he's not a quote psychic medium, or he's not perceptive, but he really is, because we all are.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying right there. There's these things, you can't explain them. Somebody isn't coming up to you and grabbing you by the shirt and screaming in your face, do not go to class today. If you go to class today, there's going to be a big problem. It's fascinating, really.
He recognized it in the nick of time.
Wow.
The thing is, there's obviously in that particular thing, in the college thing, there was a bad guy, right? There was somebody who got some really bad advice. Was he wired wrong? Didn't he have ancestors? Didn't he, wasn't there any support for him? I know the physical world fell apart on him, right?
Right.
What about the spiritual world? Why was he just out of touch? What happened there? Do you know?
Well, I feel like when we're created, we're all given the gift of what I call choices. We're all given choices in life. We're not just robots here on Earth and have to walk certain steps based on what we're told. We can make our own choices. And, you know, we can't in a positive manner truly understand what was going through his mind. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that there was loved ones that were around him, you know, trying to guide him and trying to tell him, no, this is not the way you should make your choice. And, you know, it's very unfortunate, and, you know, that he made the choice that he did. But, you know, that there's no doubt in my mind that there was loved ones around him. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If they love you, they're going to try to keep you from doing things that are wrong along your path.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he just wasn't listening. I don't know. I mean, it isn't really a matter of listening, I guess. But
he overruled what any message
whatever
it
may
it
have been.
Good.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's very perplexing. I don't think
it's just like us in our daily lives. I mean, you know, right before I came on the show, I had a nice homemade slice of chocolate pie and a cup of coffee, and something we kept telling me I shouldn't be eating that.
You know? Someone tells me that every day, Rick.
Yeah,
but you know what? There's none left, so I did really listen. I made my choice. I was going to eat that pie. So,
yeah, I do those kinds of things too.
Well, now we're talking about indulgence, and that's just a whole show in its own right, I think.
How does I don't want to talk about, you know, that stuff anymore, because that's very negative and depressing. And what we want to do here, especially, is to bring people's vibrations up and you know,
right.
get you happy and excited about the afterlife as well as your daily life, right?
Right.
As far as the afterlife goes, both of us, both co-hosts and, of course, our lovely and talented Bonnie.
Oh, man, you must have done something really wrong to her to say that.
Oh, man, I as a matter of fact, at one point I had her, she was pushing me off of the bed in the hotel room.
So I literally left from one bed to
so
the other.
So many horrible ways.
She left from one bed to the other to push me off because I was mean. But
he's scoring points right
it
now.
It was all in good fun. So I'm really working on lovely and talented Bonnie.
You've heard it here, people.
We had both groups, Bonnie and myself and our friends and Scott L. and Grimstone and Amber and all them. Mm-hmm. We went on two separate ghost hunting excursions this past weekend, right? Because for some reason our path seems to include ghosts, and
we bunking, huh?
I know. So we do these things, and yeah, a lot of it is because we do want to experience this. We want to see ghosts. We want to experience them. We want to be the ones who have the cool stories to tell, and try and figure out what it means to us. But obviously, we're already pretty sure that there's something going on and that these things can happen,
mm-hmm.
right? But I ran into a couple this weekend, and they had seen the ghost story thing on the Sci-Fi Investigates, mm-hmm. about the hotel that we were at, the Low Hotel.
Low Hotel.
They just were curious, and they wanted to pop in. Do you find, Rick, people are curious, more curious about this stuff, and they're working that into their life plan as well, that they want to investigate this stuff just like it's on TV, or just like they heard from a friend of a friend, you know, that a ghost was seen at this hotel, let's go there.
Yeah, it's increased because of the media and people like you, and it's increased by the investigators out there, and I think it's a lot has to do with, you know, years and years ago, you weren't really able to talk about these things because of different aspects, including, you know, that's why it took me until just 2003 to come out in public because of my upbringing. But, you know, the whole environment has allowed us to become more open and more, you know, more of the question of let's try to find answers to these questions. I really think I'm beginning to believe that there is something more than just life here. And just like, you know, these places that the hotel that we were at that weekend, an amazing hotel with amazing experiences in there. And you know, I don't know how y'all felt, but I received a lot of messages there and just messages to help me to better understand the hotel itself. And I think the curiosity of everyone is really helping with the trend of let's find more answers to the life after.
Well, isn't it intention? We were having this conversation last night, Doug, at the Grimstone meeting. I asked that about spirit photography, for example. I'm like, isn't it the same? I mean, you can take all the pictures you want, but if you don't have a true yearning, a true intention inside you to try to see these things or experience these things, I don't think you're really going to get a photo like me. I'm trying, you know, but there's something that I haven't clicked a button yet, I guess. I haven't toggled something maybe that I, inside myself.
It's the ampersand.
You keep putting an ampersand.
And it blows the whole script.
In the podcast feed. So yeah. It's an ampersand in your inner workings.
Exactly. You're right. You were saying this thing about curiosity, Rick. I mean, that must be the first step. It has to be the first step, I think, where, okay, I'm curious about this. Now I have to go out and explore this thing and quench my curiosity. Is that really what, you know, is that the starting block? And this adventure we're all on right now. Is this where we're starting at? And now people, they are. Like you just said, the interest has grown. Mm-hmm. People are out there a lot more. There's a lot more groups out there. The media has gotten involved. It starts with curiosity, possibly, and then you move from there.
Yeah, and you know, curiosity is nothing more than wanting to learn more, wanting to understand. And that's, you know, that's the beginning stage is curiosity. But one of the things, you know, that I want to share with you is that if you go to an investigation to take photographs, you can try too hard. In other words, you can try to just make things, you want things to happen so bad that you're trying too hard. And that comes back to your life daily. If you would just let things happen, I think you'll find your photographs will be changing.
That's not very familiar, don't it, Doug? Doug has his eyebrows popped up. He's looking right at me.
What's interesting, there's two sides to that. I'm extremely easygoing, right? Mm-hmm. I just sort of float through life. And Scott organizes the entire life, right?
From 2:13. To the second.
Yeah, from 2:13, 45 to 2:17, 18, we will be taking spirit photographs. And if they're not there at that time, well, then they missed out on their photography appointment, you know. But we're very different people. But at the same time, I think ghostly talk itself, and even you, Rick, I've seen you speak. I've met you in person. You're on the easygoing side as well, but you also are very organized. So you've got a little bit of both. But all of us have a fun side.
Yeah. Right.
We all have a fun
Thank
time.
God.
And I think Ghostly Talk really brings it out that we're oftentimes very fun and sometimes very loud until 4 a.m. But but you know, that's between us and the hotel management. But we have a fun side, and I think people need to embrace their fun side as well as their serious side. And you and me, Scott, are opposites in,
we're
in
polar
a lot of
opposites
ways. In a lot of ways. And
I love it when we talk to people because they are like, you know, where's the glue at? We're like, there is no glue. We just coexist.
Exactly.
just make it happen.
It sort of happens. But I think people need to have that outlook. They need to have the fun outlook and the serious outlook as well. It's really a duality of...
Yeah, Rick, I mean, chime in on this, please. Because it's balance. I'm thinking
exactly.
We're doing balance here. That's what it's all about to me, I think, is balance.
That's the point right there. And what I was going to share with you, brought up the photography. We receive photographs and, you know, people want us to know, that, you know, what is in this photograph, and they want my thoughts on it. And it's really amazing because when they show me the photographs, I would say maybe 90% of the photographs that are sent to us is photographs that they were taking of maybe, you know, it was maybe a Christmas party or it was, you know, a family gathering. And it was nothing to do with investigating, you know, looking for a ghost. It was just a typical day. And you know, if you think about it, these loved ones aren't on a schedule either. So, you know, there's going to be times they may appear in a photograph when you don't expect it because they're saying to you, hey, I'm here too, you know. So,
well, it seems like such a random thing. I think some of the best evidence we've gotten as far as us being, you know, investigators in the field. They've been these random things, Rick.
Right place, right time.
Right place, right time.
I think so, too.
It's been the random things. We may have been on an investigation, we may have not been, but it was just a situation where you remember it, where we remember it, to be very late, like laid back, light, fun. And somebody snapped a photo, somebody took a piece of audio, who knows?
A couple of things that you talk about when you talk, Rick, is you know, can spirits be recorded or photographed and things like that. You talk about
ghost hunting. I was at a cemetery last night.
And you were at a cemetery. You talk about these things, but what's interesting is like Scott saying, it's right place, right time, but isn't there also an element of... Yeah, there's an attitude, but there's I just can't describe it. What am I reaching for?
You alcohol. Know,
there's an
setting
partying
the theme.
Partying and the people.
They don't call them spirits for a reason. All right.
I lost my question.
Did I blow you off? Did you just kill the mic right now? Or?
Let's talk about the cemeteries. You went to a cemetery. We went to a hotel. You went to a cemetery last night.
Sorry,
our spirits. We don't want those spirits.
Not alcoholic spirits.
No, real spirits.
Our ghosts, are they hanging around out there?
In the cemeteries.
Well, and we talked about this, you know, a couple of times just together. And you know, my thoughts are that, you know, that's where their physical bodies are laid to rest. But why would they remain there? Why would they... be in a place that their loved ones that are still going through their earthly plan here in life would go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're with you. They're not going to be sitting out in the middle of a field somewhere. But now the question is, well, Rick, when I go out there, there are times that I feel like they're around me, or we go and investigate a cemetery and we have evidence. Well, first of all, if you go out there to honor them, wouldn't they be with you? But when you leave, they leave. But the same thing with investigation. You're out there to try to find answers. You're trying to find memories and experiences of that particular area. And who better to help you than that particular place? Just like in the hotel we was in just a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. You know, no 5 minutes into turning off my lights, I immediately received, started receiving thoughts from someone, and it kept telling me, talk to me, and I kept saying, I'm tired. And, you know, and finally, I finally had to listen to him, and he began to share with me. The first thing he said, which would make most people run out of the room, was he said, they cut my tongue out. And so it's like I kind of opened my eyes, and he was standing by my bed, and he began to share with me, they cut my tongue out. And then he told me my bed was not where his bed was. He began to tell me, apparently it was a hospital bed, and there was a bed. He even told me where his bedpan was sitting. I don't know why, but he let me know that. And you know, and I didn't understand the whole what he was telling me at that time. But you know, I found out later that at one time this was a hospital for cancer, and it made a lot of sense. He had throat cancer, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and he was simply there to help me to better understand. And there was other experiences I had there in that hotel, but through those experiences, I began to understand the true experiences and memories of that hotel and what it was like being there and how elegant it was at one time. And it's just like going to a cemetery. When you go into a cemetery to investigate the area, they're going to help you to better understand the area itself by sharing with you the memories and experiences that they have during that time. But again, when you leave the cemetery, they're not trapped there. They're not staying there. Why would they be?
So they just pop in with you then. They just drop in for a visit with you.
Or they
it's like, oh, they're out here looking for us. Let's let them know we're here. You know.
Well, then they leave with you pretty much.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, well, let me. I always ask everybody this question: when you complete your plan, you have a choice whether to remain 6 foot in the ground. In an empty field, or to be with those ones you love and protect and guide them during their life, which option would you take?
Oh, I'm gonna hang around my people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be under the ground either. So, you know, that's your physical body, and you immediately leave your physical body just as soon as you complete your plan here. So, you're done with it.
Well, I think, yeah, if I was a disembodied spirit, you come to think of it, it does make some sense. I mean, if you do have consciousness on the other side, I know myself, I need to change the scenery like every 15 seconds or I go mad. If I was to just like kind of be sitting, I mean, even though, I mean, cemeteries are beautiful places, I love going to cemeteries because they're so relaxing to go to. I think if I was sitting in one for a couple of eons, it might get just a slight bit.
After an eon or two, you'd be like,
it might get kind of boring. I might get a little bored with this, and I might need to find something new to do. So it does kind of make sense, Rick, where, you know,
at that point, Scott would have every blade of grass level.
Right.
Oh, that'd be the nicest cemetery you've ever been to in your entire life.
1.134 centimeters high.
He would be out there counting the blades as
he
well.
He would.
Those would be the shiniest headstones you've ever seen.
But, you know, going back to cemeteries, there are a lot of famous cemeteries that have a lot of legend, not legend, but a lot of stories and a lot of experiences. And, you know, there's a lot of people that go just to see what it was like in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's so many times investigators go to these types of cemeteries and they, you know, they get some things coming back to them. It's because they're the ones telling you what it's like, just like that guy in the hotel. I never knew what it was like to have, you know, to go through what he went through in that particular hotel. But by him sharing with me what it was like and what it looked like, it helped me to better understand and really respect the hotel more.
Right.
After hearing that.
Well, talking about history, this is one thing I've been telling. I talked to a few people today about the cemetery we were at last night. I'd never looked very closely, but in the middle of this cemetery, it's Warren Union Cemetery here in beautiful Warren, Michigan. We were walking around and we went under this gigantic. You remember this? That huge tree?
The huge tree, yeah.
I don't know if you ever looked at the sign on that tree, Doug.
I don't know. I don't.
This
think
tree,
so.
You look. There's a sign on there nailed to it, and it says Norway spruce, circa 1790.
Oh, my God.
And you're talking about history and learning about an area, Rick, when you go to these places. I'm like, okay, this tree is over 200 years old. My God. I mean, regardless of the fact this thing was just it's just ridiculously huge. I mean, the branches on this thing are bigger than most trees in this town, I think. That's a good piece of history. I mean, there's something like, wow, this thing's been here since, like, you know, the Civil War.
Well, it was before Detroit was a city. It was a fort or something at that time.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, it's just it's just one of those things. Like, as far as the cemetery is concerned, you're talking about the history and things, Rick. Like I said, that's another piece right there. I mean, I didn't get that. No, I didn't get that. Any type of, like, you know, I didn't get any. Nobody told me that. It's something I saw. It was physical right there. But it was just something I wanted to point out. It was really really cool to see something that old.
And Scott, the thing about just like that sign on the tree that you were talking about, I mean, mm-hmm. immediately, I don't know, you may or may not, but when I see something like that, I immediately say, I wonder what it was like there during that time. I wonder, you know, I wonder what it was like 200 years ago in this particular spot. And that's when things start coming to me and sharing with me the experiences that actually went there to help me better understand. I wish they would have helped me during my history class in school. But
welcome
can
to the club.
Can you imagine having, like, Ben Franklin just say, "Oh no, that's not right. You got
to
do
change
well,
that answer. You're yeah. going
Bill
to
and
fail."
Bill and Ted did it.
Yeah, I mean, that was Hollywood, though.
But yeah, and that's kind of what I thought too, Rick. Last night when I looked at this tree, I said, "My God, this time at one time this thing was a seed, and look what it's become. I mean, creation itself is just a beautiful thing." Go ahead, Doug.
One thing that you talk about, Rick, and you've already mentioned it here, but you always talk about, does everybody have the ability to be perceptive? I want to ask you a little bit of a offshoot of
okay.
that question.
Oh, I'm putting the headphones down now. It's going to get ugly.
One of the things that we started talking about with some other some authors and things like that were on the show, and it got me starting to think about it again, was the old school stuff. And we're talking, you know, 1850s, 1870s, 1890s, and then turn of the century, 1900s, was the old school stuff, the mediumship, the, you know, spiritualism and things like that.
That whole era, yeah.
The whole era was all physical phenomena. You know, the mediums would supposedly, you know, cause all these wonderful things to happen, and they were very physical, you know, the trumpet, the... the levitations, yeah, the apportations, just all these bizarre things, and of course that era, unfortunately, is packed.
Gone.
Well, it's gone, but it's also packed with debunkers, you know, debunking these things, and yes, there were a lot of people who were not on the up and up. They were fraudulent.
There was a lot of fraud, yeah.
But the physical manifestations, these things, I mean, I know that physical things have happened to me with hauntings, right?
Same here.
I've noticed these things. I've noticed physical things, and, hey, that shouldn't be there. Or, oh, my goodness, that door is physically opening at this time. I mean, that's what we are closing. We saw
closing.
That at Fenton.
Yeah.
It was closing. So these physical things have happened to me, not on the, you know, order of what happened, mm-hmm, you know, back at the turn of the century, but or the turn of the 1800s to 1900s century.
Yeah.
But what the physical phenomena, is that, do we cause that, or do ghosts cause that?
Well, first of all, during the period that you're talking about, you know, again, you got to understand that time period. That was a very, very conservative time period, a very, very focused, the blinders on each side of the visual. This is the way you're taught when it came to religion. And because of that, they had to manifest trumpets and things like that for people to actually see it. And again, it goes back to, you know, our mindset is in order to believe it, you have to see it. And they were very even stronger back then. Now today, I feel like, again, we go back to the transition that people are starting to take of, well, maybe just because we don't see it, that doesn't mean it's not there. So, and so when they give us physical validations, just like you're talking about, Doug, when they give us physical validations, basically what they're doing is they're saying, I'm trying to give you a message. I need your attention. And the only way I can give you attention is to give you a physical validation. I'll give you a very good example. Just recently, I was in a personal consultation with about seven individuals, and we were all sitting in the living room, and we were sharing messages. And suddenly, there was a picture in a group of pictures up on the wall, and suddenly this one picture fell off the wall. And, you know, I usually start the consultation by sharing with everyone, you know, it's just friends sharing thoughts. My head's not going to turn 360. Nothing's going to fly across the room. And this picture fell off the wall, and every one of their mouths just dropped to the floor. You know, their jaws just dropped. And I looked at them, and I said, did it break? And they said, you don't understand. That's the person we're speaking with. That's the picture of the person we're speaking with. So what was going on was this loved one that had come through and shared messages was giving someone in the group, you know, hey, you still don't think I'm here? Let me show you. And he actually made the picture, you know, he took the picture and dropped it on the floor. So to me, when they give us physical validations, and I get those myself, you know, when you get those physical validations like that, it's simply saying, I have more message to share with you. I'm trying to get your attention. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, I mean, those are the things right there. I mean, and that, you know, that's an interesting idea you said about the spiritualism era. In order to convince people of this stuff with these rigid thought patterns they were under, you had to show them something. They had to see something, whether it was real or whether it was, you know, it was fraudulent.
So oftentimes back in that era,
yeah,
it was
people,
fraudulent. But
people
I just wonder. There had to be events that were not fraudulent back then.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
There were so many events,
yeah,
you know, so many circles and things like that. It was so well investigated, and some are poorly documented and some are well documented. So,
and if we really knew, I would say there was a lot more experiences that weren't really documented, just simply because of that time of era where you kept that under the rug. You did not talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
That happens now.
Although
exactly.
Now we have blogs, and I think that that's even opening up just a little bit more. And I think it's a progression because, you know, it started with, you know, the most you could do is keep a diary, right? But, of course, diaries could be read later, you know, or found or lost and found or read by your mom or whatever. So the most you can do to keep your private thoughts would be a diary. Mm-hmm. And then you can go now and you can share your entire life online. And people don't really balk when it's online. It's very rare that somebody, read a blog or whatever and then go and actually meet that person and say, well, you know, you were absolutely crazy on, you know, May 18th, 2006 when you said this and that and the other thing. You know, they're just getting a general feeling to know all about you kind of thing on, mm-hmm. online. Mm-hmm. It's when you sit down and actually talk to the person you're going to make all those judgments, you know.
Yeah, if they're crazy or not.
Yeah. Like if they're sitting there like wild-eyed and you know, licking their lips. Whoops.
Or perhaps you're making the judgments by your religious upbringing, like my father does to me.
That happens. Ooh. That happens.
We have to interview Bonnie pretty soon, I think.
He says when I go out with you guys, what I'm doing is visiting the devil and conjuring spirits.
Well, you visited the devil. You're sitting right here next.
Yeah, you're
to
in. Mm-hmm. You're right here.
I know.
I can call that, Rick.
Bonnie, you're talking to someone here that you know. I share this with everyone. My grandfather was a very highly respected evangelist, and so my mom's a preacher's daughter. So I grew up mm-hmm. in the same atmosphere, and that's why it took me so many years to finally, you know, come out in public and say, this is the abilities I have been given. I want to share it, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And, you know, so I completely understand what you're saying.
Rick, we got like 5 minutes left.
And here's the thing.
Wow. It always goes fast with you guys.
We blew through the break, too. We didn't need a break.
2 hours with him next time?
We really should, yeah.
Rick, you are so fascinating. And we come across every single time when we talk to you in person, when we talk to you on the show. You are so fascinating. But you are out there for people. You do get out there. You do seminars. You do the conferences. Tell us about your seminars, the Life's Gifts seminars, and how do people go to these things?
Well, the Life's Gifts seminars this year is the topic, and we talked about this at the beginning, is mm-hmm. the topic is your new life attitude, and mm-hmm. what I'm sharing is more the aspects of understanding your life daily. And in fact, you know, I can put it all in one perspective, in one statement, and this is it. To begin to change the way you look at life, life will begin to change. So when you begin to change your life, the way you look at life, your life will begin to change each day, and it'll change into the life after. So the seminars are based on understanding and giving you tips and specific details on how to change your life and change your life attitude. And also in a lot of the seminars, what we're doing is what we call gallery sessions, which is a small group of anywhere between 35 to 50. And after the seminar, we have about an hour and a half. Some people call them readings. I call them sharing thoughts and sharing messages and having a lot of fun with them. I mean, it's just, I think the next one we got scheduled is not till we got so many other projects going on right now. I think we got one scheduled in Louisville on October the 27th at the Clarion in Louisville. So,
It's only 6 hours away from us.
I know, it's really close. Yeah.
We're booked that weekend.
Oh, we're booked that weekend, that's right.
In separate places.
Oh, yeah, I don't even want to get on that. Yeah. Sorry, Rick, we didn't all go.
That weekend, I'm in Chicago myself, personally.
I just got bummed out. Just thinking.
I know, we won't be able to come. But
we're going to be able to do.
But the thing is, are you open to new seminars? Like, if somebody were to say, hey, you know what, down here we've got four or five ghost hunting groups in a tri-county area. We're going to pick a central place. Can we book you? Could folks do that, or do you control your schedule?
No, absolutely. We have a sister site called the site is LifesGiftSeminars.com. And if you go to that site, it will give you a little more background on me. It'll give you a little more background on who to call and schedule. It shows you my schedule for the year. It also gives you topics that I have about four or five different topics I can share in different seminars. So that's LifesGiftSeminars.com. Just go to that and it'll give you all the information. And no, that's my part of my purpose in life is to reach as many as I can. And, you know, and that includes going out and speaking at different speaking engagements.
Can we schedule one for here in the winery?
Well, we already mentioned that on break like an hour ago when we first, well, I think it was when we first got Rick on the phone. I was like, yeah, well, you know, you should come here and check out the studio.
Right.
See what we're doing now. Life's Gift Talk Radio, speaking of studio.
Oh, now this is very exciting, Rick. Tell us about Life's Gift Talk Radio.
Well, I want to share this with you. I totally respect you three for hosting a radio show. It is so much harder to host a show. We had our first show last Sunday night, and we was going to run it the third Sunday of each month. Now we're running it the first and third Sunday of each month, and we decided to do that. We're squeezing in my schedule somehow, but the radio show is a 1 hour show called Conversations Talk Radio. And
oh, sorry, I totally messed that up.
That's okay. We're gonna have different topics but we had our first one last Sunday and just had a tremendous response and it goes back to another step in what we wanted to do with Life's Gift. It's another area of us being able to reach people all over the world. And, we're having a lot of fun with it, but I got done with that hour. It's like, wow. I totally respect hosts of radio shows now, because it's so much easier to be interviewed than be, you know, to be on the other side of the mic. So, but, yeah, we're having a lot of fun with it. I think the next show we're actually going to be speaking about, the topic of the show is called Help Rick, My Child is Scared. And we're going to discuss about children that are having things in, you know, so-called imaginary friends and what a parent can do about that.
Oh, wow.
Fascinating.
And, you know, I'm really loving this, because there's a lot of gentlemen like yourself, Rick, people that are out there that I consider, like, you know, I don't want to say it, like, but authority figures in a lot of these fields, in a lot of these arenas. I'm loving the fact that you guys are starting to do shows like this and putting stuff out for people to listen to. Because, you know, we bring you guys on this show, and we get an hour with you. You know, we get an hour, 2 hours, an hour and a half. But, you know, it's great to see you guys starting up and doing your shows, because now you're on a regular schedule. You're getting more information.
And people
out
can
way.
Get to know you a lot
yes,
better,
yes.
And hear your message and hear what you're talking about. And do you make sense for them? And do you explain things the way that they can understand them? And that's the variety that I like to see. And
kudos to
have you, Rick, doing a show. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
it's awesome.
I can't think of anything better. I'm
it's
so
awesome.
Happy.
So congratulations, by the way. Very
well,
very cool.
Well, thank you. It's you know I look at it this way. It's about you, for you, and with you, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Unfortunately, though, oh, man.
I know. This is it. This is the end of our show.
You know, we're talking. There's been a theme that, you know, this is like going to be like my epilogue at the end.
This is your epilogue?
Yeah. So play the music. Whatever.
Oh, it sounds like we're going to.
But this
like,
is something I
sounds
know.
Sounds like we're hanging yeah. with Elmo.
This is something that I've noticed tonight, though. We've kind of had a rough night here.
Yeah,
in the studio. Doug, when you guys got here about 6:30, I won't lie. I cracked that door back there because I was so mad about. I was so mad. And Rick's like, oh god, this guy's a nutcase, right? But I mean, no. we've been having problems with the feed tonight. It was driving me nuts because we're sitting here working so hard to do a good show here, and when you have these little things that you think are taken care of, it really gets, you know, disheartening. So Doug walks in, hey, what's up? And I am punching that door. Ah, I'm so tired of all this crap. Why didn't you get everything? You know, but we talked to Marshall. It's from 7 to 8.
Yep.
We talked to Rick from 8 to 9 tonight, right? And I felt the same thing coming from both these guys, and I felt it from us tonight too. It's about getting together, teaming, you know, getting yourselves together.
And now look what's
making it happen.
An hour and 17 minutes
yeah,
and 27
we haven't
seconds,
blown the feed
the
yet.
Feed's been going
but
perfect.
It's really about a lot of the messages I think we've got tonight. If there's anything somebody should walk away with from this show tonight, it should be, you know, if you put your minds together, you put your team up, you get yourself out there. I'm totally blowing this, ain't I?
No, it makes
beautiful.
Sense.
It's beautiful.
You put your minds
here.
Together. You can make things happen. You can get through the worst of things. And we've done that a lot of times here on Ghostly Talk. And it's great to hear it from other people that come on here, both Marshall and Rick tonight, who have said, look, you know, there is this message. You know, we all need to kind of like look at these things together and work together on things as opposed to working against each other.
This is like Jerry's final moment.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. Jerry's final thought.
Sorry, we didn't have any midgets fighting, but, you know, what are you
yeah,
going to do, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty close when we first walked in.
Yeah, it almost was.
Rick, your main website is www.lifesgift.com. And I'm sure you've got the links up to lifesgiftseminars.com, and you've got the radio show up there as well, right?
Right on the homepage.
All right.
Awesome.
And so you're going, I'm sure we'll see you a couple times through the year. But,
or we're
going
to see you.
Or maybe we'll
make it happen.
We're going to LifeSgift seminars.
We're
going to get you here.
Yeah, we're going to
one or the other.
One or the other. But that is awesome. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule and talk to us. And I know that whenever you're on, somebody's going to hear the show and go, wow.
Yeah.
It all makes
sense. Yeah, and that's why I love talking to you, Rick.
We always get excited when it's time to have Rick Hayes on the show again.
We do.
It's always a lot of fun, and you know, I always, when we get the opportunity to be a part of your show, I always look forward to it. And because you know, it's just, you know, I feel like I've known you guys for years, and you
kind
know,
of sick, isn't it?
But Bonnie, before we go though, yeah. I really need to share this with Bonnie. Bonnie, I don't know if you're expecting something in the mail, or if you're looking for something in the mail, or if there's going to be something come through to you in the mail that it's almost like it's going to be something you've been looking for. So, okay.
Okay.
Keep that right in mind. Is it that check?
I've already gotten that.
She
check.
Wants it to be a check. We'll see what it is, and we'll let you know next time.
We'll keep it next time we talk to you. Thank you.
Okay.
We have
stay
to
on the
thank
line, Rick. Don't leave us just yet. Stay with us.
So we have to thank Rick Hayes of www.lifesgift.com.
Ran a little over. Sorry.
Yeah, but, and we. Oh, but did we?
Sorry, Nathan and Sean.
Marshall Masters at www.youwsa.com.
Oh,
watch
yeah.
out for 2012.
No,
and of course, Elmo from Texas.
Our field reporter.
Love him.
Talking about
love
Bragg
you,
Road.
Elmo.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Real down home. That's like the ghost hunter I want to be right there.
He
I know.
Is
they're
the
out ghost hunting
man.
Like crazy.
Oh, man.
You guys, we have to really, really wrap
thank
it up
you,
and get out because you know, on other channels, et cetera, our other shows.
They're hating us as we speak.
They're
right
hating
now.
Us as we speak. So, you guys, switch over in your browsers all over to them other shows, including, of course, ghostanddemon.com. But there's so many others.
There's so much out there now.
Go find podcasts that you can listen to. Go create podcasts that you can listen to. And go indie music. Thanks, everybody. We will be back next week with more.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now.
Media.